Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
And rising, and thank you all for joining us for another men-only discussion. And this Wednesday morning, we're going to talk about that hot topic that everybody is up in arms about across the nation: abortion. Is it wrong? Is it only the woman's right to choose? Well, our men are going to discuss this in this program today, led by our host, Kareem Hamid. And we'll be joining the American Muslim 360 family and our friends on Facebook and YouTube. And we want you, women, we're going to hear what they have to say. Join us live at 515-605-9325, press 1, and we'll have a discussion afterwards. Men, we want you to call in 515-605-9891 and press 1 so that the host, Kareem Hamid, can know that you are ready to have something to say. This is a discussion we want men to feel free to talk about. And we want them to not feel intimidated by the presence of women. That's why we have these men-only discussions, because sometimes men need to be able to say what they feel and not worry that women are going to express anger. So this is important, because your opinion matters. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after these messages with Kareem Hamid and a panel of men who are going to discuss abortion? Is it only the woman's right to choose? We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment, so stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com. where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness. Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, success strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on relationships. Third Saturday, move around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Grand Rising. And we're going to be joining our host, our co-host, Kareem Hamid, for this men-only discussion. So stay tuned as we join our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family and talk about abortion. So we will be right back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and his guest in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host, Kareem Hamid, every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
A guest on and the subject matter that I think is very important that we discuss. It is the issue of abortion. I know abortion has been somewhat titled a woman's issue, but from my perspective, it is not. It takes two in order to conceive. So we want to hear the contemplations, the comments of men on such a very vital issue. I think I'm going to begin to open up mics and see who is with us. Erico 618580. Erico 618580.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Good morning.
Alhamdulillah. This is our beloved Imam Askia Hamid here from East St. Louis, and I'm going to open up the other mics and let them introduce themselves. Air code 334-419. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Michael Hamid, Jacksonville, Florida.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, there's another guest. Error code 312-721. Assalamu alaikum.
312-721. That is the voice of Naima Latif. And I want to also let you know about another guest that you will have, Bishop Leonard MPKwa. And he is author of a book that his book is called Understanding the Anointing, and I've asked him to be a guest on this very momentous discussion on abortion
And I believe that he should be in your studio. If not, I'll make sure I let him know to press 1 so that you can see his number.
Right. If you would give me his name once more, I believe this is Bishop M.T.
Yes. Bishop Leonard M.T. K.E.Y. That's K.A.Y.I.W.A. And his Bishop K.E.Y. He's from Uganda. Uganda.
Naima, you're not hearing me.
I'm sorry.
Would you spell his name?
Because
I want to pronounce it.
Okay. Leonard is the first name. The middle initials M.T.
Mm-hmm.
And the last name K.E.Y. K.A.Y.I.W.A.
Okay.
So I'll make sure I put him on the screen when he speaks. And he's an author. He's from Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And very distinguished gentleman.
Okay.
Looking forward to joining this conversation. And his new book is one that I think will address some of the spiritual issues that we're looking at today as we look at the topic of abortion. And, of course, my Female Solution audience is on the line. And any man that wants to join this conversation, please press 1, and I'll alert our host for the day, Brother Kareem Hamid, that you would like to speak. And, sisters, we're going to listen so that we don't interfere with this men-only discussion, because we really want to hear the male point of view about abortion. It's a very emotional topic, and sometimes we don't listen because we're so intense in our emotions. But we need to understand that other half that produces the child and what those emotions are. So we're looking forward to that discussion, and I'll make sure that Bishop Leonard K.E.Y. Knows to press 1 and look for his number beginning with area code 224. And
I'll look for it.
And I'll make sure that he is tapped in. If he comes on my line, then I will certainly
direct him. Okay.
Yes. And also, if the people who speak the first time they speak, if they can give me the name and the spelling of their name and where they're from.
I'm going to revisit my guests so that they can give a brief biography of who they are, inshallah. Okay. Erico 321-917. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yeah, DeLacy Uma, Philip, Melbourne, Florida.
Okay.
I've been on the program a few times before and really enjoy being on. I'm also affiliated with AM 360. Have a Saturday program at 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. preparing to make it in the land of Clint.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Imam DeLacy, for participation. Okay, 618-580. If you would give a brief introduction to yourself, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Askia Hamid. I reside in the city of East St. Louis, across the river from St. Louis. I have been resident imam in East St. Louis, and at one time also in St. Louis, Missouri, at El Mo'minun Islamic Center. And also I have a history of volunteering in public education, addressing human development, and also a former teacher in Clara Muhammad School.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Imam Askia. Okay, moving forward, 334-419. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam. God's peace be with you and to the audience. Michael Hameen, host of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I've also been the host of a commercial radio station programming in Birmingham, Alabama, WAGG, well-known civil rights station owned by the great Dr. A.G. Gasson, former imam of a Birmingham Masjid al-Quran in Birmingham, Alabama, and now in Jacksonville, Florida. Praise be to God.
And can I have the name again, please? Could I have that name again, please?
Michael Hameen.
Michael Hameen.
With an A. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Naima, you have that. I'm just getting ready to open up mics and we can begin this conversation.
Yes, I have Michael Hameen, Imam DeLacy Umar from Florida, Askia Hamid from St. Louis. Did I miss anybody? Is that all? Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, and I will attempt to connect Bishop Leonard Kaywa, make sure he's connected to and knows to press one so that you can recognize him when he calls in.
Alhamdulillah. All right, thank you, Naima. Keep being informed as to when we will go on breaks, the public service announcements. And we'll do that and then return back to the conversation. I want to first hear the commentary of Imam Askia Hamid concerning the issue of abortion. What is his commentary? What is his opinion? What is his thoughts on such a very important issue of abortion? If you would at least give us 5 minutes, Imam Askia. I know it's a very broad subject, but we are under the pressure of the clock. So we shall, have an inshallah, after everyone have given their commentary, then we want an open discussion, inshallah. If you would, Imam Askia Hamid.
Yes, sir. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. As you say, it's a very serious subject, and it's an old subject. So what I do, I refer to the experience as a child hearing of the subject. In the African-American community, I don't have the ayat before me, but I'm going to refer to the expression in the Quran that describes the killing the men is translated often in letting the women go free. In the description of exploitive society that's looking to control, it describes this scenario of killing the men. So we reflect upon what do the men represent in society. As it already be stated, that it takes the male and the female to establish family and community. This is the foundation of life. We know the story of our father Adam and his mate. This is the start. An expression of the Quran is through them seed scattered. We know human life comes from our initial father, mother, community. very foundational for development. Got a five-minute window, so we're going to speed it up. First thing is education and responsibility. That's the culturalization. It comes through the mother and father. It comes through the environment where Almighty God teaches us. As a child, I remember we hear terms, the birds and the bees. I remember seeing in natural environment in the southern part of our city, people coming up from Mississippi, Alabama, so forth. It wasn't unusual to see them do the things that was done in the South, tend their animals when they're in heat, when they're in a state to want to reproduce. And in doing so, you would see the same thing that's described with birds and bees. The human being, the child, is going to see animals reproducing coming together to meet an aspiration, this appetite that's in them for reproduction. So I'm saying the human being sees these things and then it works within them. Okay, education is what the parents and society is responsible to give that child to have a perception of what that importance of family and couples are. I heard the concern of at one point certain religious organizations, I'm thinking of the church specifically and possibly the Catholic, it was expressed, I heard my mom say, that if it was a choice between the baby living and the mother, that it was a question of to save the child over the mother or vice versa. Just the idea that that was a question was interesting to me as a child. So now we fast forward to of abortion, the highest percentage of abortions are in the African-American community. We ask why. One of the things we have to look at is it's a impact up on the individual of the responsibility. And we know that Allah has revealed in the Quran that he is responsible, that Allah is responsible for what is need, that our sense of poverty and not having should not be a reason not to look at that child as a future blessing or something of value. So as I conclude, because again, that's a lot can be covered in this subject, the environment has separated the female from the male with this concern. But with education to the young male, then it can be, and the female, of the relationship. It can be a proper reflection and a need to acknowledge the proper reflection of both to have a future based in education. So I conclude with that, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you, Imam Askia, for your contribution. I'm going to now call on Imam DeLacy Omar Phillips, if he would share with us a 5-minute commentary, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Before you call on him, can we take a break and then we'll come right back? And I believe your other guest, Bishop Kaywa, is going to be on in a moment. So we'll take a few minutes break and then we'll be right back.
Inshallah.
And we'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, man, we want you to call in 515-605-9891 for this men-only discussion on abortion. And we will be right back after this break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
Follow us on Facebook
and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Heath. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose work are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too.
Yes, it's a point.
Be inspired. Watch the
long commercial break now. So,
radio TV show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid, who is on the line with our panel of guests. And the topic today, abortion. And men, we want you to call in 515-605-9891 and press 1. And Kareem, I believe your other guest, Bishop Leonard Kaiwa, the author from Uganda, I believe he will be calling in, and you should be looking, you should see his number starting with area code 224. I've asked him to press 1. Had to do a little bit of juggling today.
Yes,
one of my malfunctions, so that's wonderful. Okay. So now we're ready for the presenter. Wonderful. Okay. We're all set. Good to go.
Okay. Now we want to hear from Imam Dalesi Omar Phillips, if you would, a brief five-minute commentary opening up the subject of abortion, if you would, Imam Dalesi Omar Phillips.
Yes. Yes. Peace and blessings to everyone, our listening audience and panel. I appreciate you inviting me to give some comments on such a important, sensitive topic. In our scripture, there's a verse that says, "And destroy not life, which God has made sacred, for we provide for both you and them." And meaning the children that will possibly come. So with that as a ground, I would say I'm very pro-life, and also I'm for choice, freedom of choice. So I'm pro-life and also for choice in the matter. Because we are talking about a very sensitive and involved complicated topic here. You know, I heard a presentation given on it by Dr. Ali from Jacksonville. He's a pediatrician, and he talked about the complications of birth that some women incur, and babies born outside of the womb with all type of almost deadly illnesses that they won't live more than a few minutes outside of the womb. And he talked about the humanity of God bringing that child into the world. And I thought was very balanced to look at, you know, that some things such as childbirth, conception, they are very sacred matters that are personal matters between individuals and their creator. And governments shouldn't be in the business of regulating that type of activity, such a private act that really can't be controlled by government. There can be laws put on the book that will punish people for behaving in a certain way, but it won't stop or solve the problem that could occur or will occur from such behavior. In fact, it creates more problems. I remember early, I was very young at the time when this topic was brought up in the public arena, where there were many, many backroom abortions, as they call it then, where women were being aborted with clothes hangers, all type of things. They were finding fetuses, all in garbage cans, et cetera, et cetera. And it forced this debate to come to the table. And then, of course, around that time, I think Roe versus Wade, I believe, was the title. It came into law because they wanted to create some civility in the process of unwanted pregnancies. And then there's the idea of forcing these things on individuals. So freedom of choice, I think the language has been really aborted, because the real topic is the right of women to choose control over their bodies, how they're going to be with their own bodies. I can respect that type of idea, but certainly the sacredness of life should not be left out of the arena of discussion. How life is sacred, how we each individual has been given the right to have a future, or to you know, we believe as religious people that our life here and the way we live it will earn us a great existence in another reality that we call paradise or heaven, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's a great opportunity for an individual to have that opportunity to have everlasting life, where he or she can realize their aspirations that may be denied in this life. So I think there's a sacredness to it, as well as a practical aspect where it should be left up to the doctors, the physicians, the women, and their husbands or mates to determine whether this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing. So thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate the opportunity to address these few issues about this very vital and sensitive topic.
Yes. Thank you, Imam DeLacy, for your contribution and your enlightening commentary. I want to now call upon Michael Hameen, if you would, please. Assalamu alaikum, Michael Hameen.
Yes, Godspeed to you, with you and with the audience, the peace that obligates us to keep the peace, support the peace, et cetera. I'm thankful and grateful to the Source Creator, Almighty God, to have this opportunity. There are three focuses that Sacred Scripture gives us, in particular, the Quran, the generous Quran, the Holy Quran, as it's called, or Quran, as it's been called. And one is sacred regard for the Creator and the reality that there is the Creator, and then there is the creation that he has brought into being and that serves the purposes of the one who created it, that is the cosmic reality or the Mother Nature, etc. And before the physical, what's called feticide, the destruction or abortion of a fetus, or abortion, the deliberate termination of a human pregnancy, before that was given the state of or the position of being brought into law with Roe versus Wade, as Imam De Lacy mentioned. You know, we had a women for different reasons that saw fit to find dangerous ways of aborting the pregnancies. But the abortion of or the termination of a sacred regard for the Creator, secondly, the sacred regard for the wombs or the social ties, the female entrusted ties of relationship, a disregard for that grew and grew in the society. And lastly, a sacred regard for the consequences of making bad choices in formal religion, speaking of the hellfire, the consequences of disobedience to the standards established by the Creator. In Al-Islam, we're told to be regardful, to have a sacred regard for hell. And we've seen, in my opinion, we've seen the social life for many become a living hell because of the choices giving legal status to the ability to terminate life or the development of life coming into its maturity. We have a human dynamic in terms of the life process. All life comes through the womb or doorway of the female, of the mother. And the process in terms of that life developing, it comes into the world with nothing, and it is cared for until it can either grow and mature. And that process suggests, that dynamic process of human life suggests a debt that is owed, by the new life to make a contribution to the support of the life and the world that it comes into. But here, that kind of regardfulness is not promoted. And there are few that actually, you know, give that kind of support and willing to argue the point that this disregard, this termination of human life brought into law, how it has affected the social structure. We already have an issue in terms of the philosophical view of the majority population, which is slowly becoming a minority. Well, I shouldn't say slowly, but it's becoming a minority. But this view in terms of European thinking that, you know, there's not enough. There are not enough resources, there's not enough food, not enough, you know, this idea and focus philosophically in terms of lack is something that we're going to have to face because, you know, the introduction of this idea of lack has you know, brought difficulties into a healthy future for America in particular in the Western world, you know, and now they're saying that we're not going to have enough people to run the world because of this, you know, this focus on aborting and vasectomies and the idea of controlling, not bringing life into a troubled world or for some even a hellish world. But it started with the aborting of the sacred regard for the creator, sacred regard for the life connection, female entrusted ties of entrusted ties, as well as a disregard for consequences of going against universal standards, which produce a hell on earth. And I thank you.
Thank you, Michael. We move now to Bishop Leonard M. T. I don't want to mess up his name. M. T. Kiowa. And have the Elijah, you would introduce yourself, Brother Bishop, and give us a brief commentary on this most important matter, if you would, please. And welcome to the Female Solution. Praise be. We are grateful for your presence, and we look forward to your valuable contribution. So, Bishop, if you would, please.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm Bishop Leonard Kiowa. Kiowa is Luganda. I'm originally from East Africa, Uganda. That's where you find Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, and some other countries. So we speak Swahili and that language. Now, it happens as we are talking about this very important topic. The Lord God led me to write a book. I wrote a book, The Tragedy of Abortion. This book is on Amazon.com, written by Bishop Leonard Kiowa, K-A-Y-I-W-A. I have it there in digital form, as well as paperback. You were asking me a question? Okay, when I was growing up in Africa, my parents, being the guardian, what I mean, all of us, we have parents to help us, guide us, so that we have good success in life. They used to tell us, children, they say, children, we don't want you to get involved in any sex outside marriage. You need to go to school, study, get a job, and properly connect with whoever you are going to live with, who is going to be your wife, if she is a lady, your husband. Because what is going to fall in that is you are going to bring in a human being in the world. You are going to be responsible for another human being as we are responsible for you. And that brings me to the other point, which is this, that me, I'm a Christian. I read the Bible. I preach from the Bible. There's a scripture in the Bible in Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse 5. God says to a man that before you were born, I knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I designated you to be a prophet to the nations. I knew you. Now, it's very interesting that the Lord God is saying that whoever is in the womb of a pregnant woman, the Lord is letting us know that this is a person. It's not just a fetus. There's a human being there who happens to be there by God's providence. Well, somebody may argue this is a mistake or this is not a mistake. Whatever it is, this is a human being. This human being is not necessarily the mother's body. You know, somebody can argue, I can do whatever I want with my body. But the other person in there also has a body. And he has rights before the Lord God Almighty. Now, going further with this, in the time we are living in, this level of science discovery, they have already found out that 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, depending on what technology they are using, that is a human being in there with a heart. There is a human being in the womb. With knowledge of that, and I think that's one of the very, very big arguments which came out in the process of overturning Roe versus Wade, because though they didn't need to have all this science to do that, already the word of God was clear that we need to cherish life, and somebody in the womb there is a human being created in the image of God, according to Genesis 1:26. But science has come along to confirm what is already a reality, that person is a human being. Now, this brings me to another point, which is extraordinarily very important. Murder. The Bible says that among the six things God hates is the shedding of innocent blood. My brothers, my sisters, when the innocent person is killed, when somebody is killed for no good reason, I mean somebody just found himself or herself in the womb of their mother, like me and you, one day we were in the womb, and we thank God for our parents giving us a chance to live. Just aborting that person and killing the person like that can bring judgment on people, on nations, and on continents. Because according to God, there's a person there, and God designates these people. Each one of us has giftings, callings, and purpose. Today, I will not be on this radio station if somebody didn't give you a chance to live, or somebody didn't give somebody a chance who did the engineering to put these things together to live. Now, we are so blessed that at the time we are living in, you have heard me say that I wrote a whole book, The Tragedy of Abortion. And in one of the things which I bring it clearly in that book is I want to bring attention to the people that there are so many foster parents. There are many organizations and systems which are ready, which are saying, give us that baby. Don't kill the baby. Give us the baby. We'll raise the baby. Maybe some of you in the hearing of my voice were raised through foster, through those good people who saw a value in you and they said, please, give me that baby. Now, of course, one of the roots of this so-called unwanted pregnancy is failure to listen to what, like my parents told me, don't go and sleep with a girl and end up having this pregnancy where you don't want, you are not ready to care for anybody, you are not in a position to maturely guide that child. Wait until you reach maturity and you get married properly, you be prayed for, and then you and your wife, you discuss what you are going to do concerning children. With all that rejected and overlooked, today we are dealing with that theory to some degree of, I need to get rid of this person. Now, that takes me to another place where somebody said, okay, well, I was raped. I don't want anybody to rape anybody. God himself says in his word that should not be done. Do to others what you want them to do to you. Rape is wrong, and there are laws and everything put in place to solve that problem. But the child in the womb didn't contribute anything to what happened. The child is an innocent person in the womb who needs to be given a chance to live. And as a preacher, as a pastor, as a bishop, I counsel people. I talk to people before they get married, and people want to become married. And these are some of the things we bring to the table. So my advice to many out there, don't just run around sleeping with somebody and going with somebody. That is wrong before the Lord. The blessedness of marriage, the blessedness of people coming together, bringing a person in this world is the greatest thing anybody can ever do to the betterment of human life. You don't just want to say, I will do whatever I want. You don't do that, or else you are going to end up in that situation of where you claim that you can do whatever you want with your body, which is not true either. You don't do whatever you want with your body. You do what the Lord God wants you to do with that body he gave you. Yes. Life is a gift from God Almighty. It must be treasured. It must be cherished. It must be celebrated. And it must be honored. Well, I'm Bishop Leonard Kaiwa, right here in Chicago doing missionary work. I'm a writer. I've wrote a lot of books. there's even another book which I'm going to launch, which is Understanding the Anointing. I'm launching it on 10-22-2022 at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time in the city of Chicago. That's the 11th book I've written. You are all welcome to attend the launch at 1432 West 79th Street, Chicago, Illinois, 6065. You can get more information about it by following me, liking me on Bishop Leonard Kaiwa Network, Facebook. Bishop Leonard is L-O-N-A-R-D, Kaiwa is K-A-Y-I-W-A, Network. And even that book, The Tragedy of Abortion, in that book, I don't judge anybody. I don't condemn anyone. I'm just bringing information. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing in all you are getting. Get understanding. Thank you so much for inviting me. those books on Amazon, amazon.com, and also on my website, www.ministerlinktogod.com. Thank you, please.
Okay, thank you. I'm struggling with the last name, but I'll get Kiowa. It. Thank you, Bishop Kiowa. Thank you for your contribution.
Yes.
This morning, praise be to God.
Assalamu alaikum. It's break time.
Okay, let me. Okay, all right, Naima, if we'll pause now for a break and some important public service announcements, we ask you don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Naima, thank you.
And we will be right back, so stay with us.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters. We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Are back. You are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and on this fourth Wednesday of the month, we have our men-only discussion, where our co-host, Kareem Hamid, hosts a panel of men to discuss a pertinent topic. Well, today's topic is abortion. is it only a woman's right to choose? And we have with us joining our co-host Kareem Hamid, Askia Hamid of St. Louis, Imam DeLacy Omar of Florida, Michael Hamid of St. Louis and host of Not Just Talk, and Bishop Leonard Kaiwa from Uganda. And he's author of the book, The Tragedy of Abortion. We're joining their discussion along with our American Muslim 360 family. And we want you women to listen in, and we're going to have a brief after show to discuss what we've heard and what we feel and what are some of the issues that arise that have even made abortion a necessity. Bishop Kaiwa brought up the topic of rape, and that is the underlying issue when women are in a position where they want to choose to remove a growing child in their womb. It was planted there against their will. There are also other issues, society shaming women who get pregnant and denying her financial assistance, forcing her into poverty. Many of these issues are fears that women have who get pregnant outside of. So we're continuing with this discussion. And Brother Kareem, there is a topic someone asked that if the men could address the issue of women being publicly shamed if they get pregnant outside of marriage and denied financial assistance. So they are in a position where if they have the child, they will get no help. And that is how society has been, which is probably why abortion has become a desire. So the question was asked, how do we change the culture of shaming women when there is a pregnancy because for whatever reason, there was sex and there was not marriage and there was not commitment to a family, but the woman's pregnant and the society blames her and shames her and does not help her. How do we address that?
Yes. I am prepared to give a 5-minute commentary on this most important subject. And what became foremost in my mind is this, that it is that it has been framed as a women's issue, but I beg to differ with that. There is no conception without the introduction of the male. I think what has been presented so far this morning is most excellent commentary. And I believe there is an urgent need to educate the men, for a woman gets pregnant through the ejaculation of sperm into the her uterus. I mean, you know, this is, it takes two to have a child. And the responsibility that comes along with the copulation, the act of sex, I believe the importance and the sacredness of that has to be very strongly focused on the male also, because I have heard women say, well, I aborted my child because I didn't want it to grow up lacking in resources, lacking in sustenance. I can't afford to raise this child by myself. So it is important that we educate ourselves as men as to our responsibility to be even called a man, a man. There are three exceptions on the prohibition of abortion. Almighty God has shared with us those exceptions is the act of rape, incest, and the health of the mother and child. We know rape has been used as a weapon of war. Our bishop, coming from the continent of Africa, can attest to that rape is being used as a weapon of war in nations that are in conflict. It's a very heinous crime. I can't imagine the mindset of the victim of rape. I can't even fathom the harm that has done to that person. And the decision to bring that pregnancy to term, I would suggest, is solely up to the victim of that crime. It is solely up to that woman that was raped. We can give our opinions and suggestions, but she is the victim of a heinous crime. And the decision of carrying that pregnancy to term should be solely hers. Incest also. You know, that is an exception also to, I think I hear somebody talking. I don't want to mute all of our mics, but as men, we bear some of we have a responsibility. We bear some of the consequences on this subject matter, and that we need to educate men. You know, and here's one more thing that we speak of: Almighty God being able to provide. Almighty God has provided for you, and He will provide for the children. Now, when we look in the Quran, we see immediately after those things that are referenced, it is when reverence the wombs that bore, you know, reverence God, praise be to Allah, praise be to Almighty God, and reverence the wombs that bore you. So we all are products of the womb, and it is used in terms of reverence. First, reverencing God and the wounds that bore you. Now, following that verse, Almighty God mentions the well-being and taking care of the orphan. After Almighty God identifies those things that are to be reverenced, then He mentions the orphan. So as believing people, we are encouraged to give in charity, to look after the orphan and the widows. That is an obligation on us. In spite of government, we have a sacred obligation pick up that responsibility. Then there are organizations whereby if the mother decides that she cannot care for that child, then as a religious body of people, the orphan becomes our responsibility to care for that child. Now, this is a decision that she had made to bring this child to full term, but she's going to need help. She's going to need resources and sustenance. She's going to need spiritual and financial help in the rearing of that child. So I'm looking to solutions, and God is offering that as a way of, as a solution for what we are speaking of now. There is a responsibility that men have. Sometimes men create. Sometimes men create the most horrendous situation for a mother that has become pregnant by them. They have not adequately prepared themselves for the maintenance of the wife and children. We must impress upon men their sacred responsibility. Their sacred responsibility. We bear some of the causal effects of abortion because of our lack of not knowing the sacredness of what we are doing, the act of copulation and the product that comes from having sex with a woman. Whether you are married to her or not, you cannot divorce your children. They are your responsibility, and you have a sacred obligation to care for the child that you have produced. You know, I feel for the women that are faced with such a dilemma as that. And one more thing, it doesn't have to be that a child cared for came from out of my loins. That's wonderful, but that child does not have to be my son or my daughter. But as men, we have a sacred obligation to be the maintainer and the protector of women. So if we step up and meet our responsibilities as believing men, the Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, have said to us, any man that educates two daughters is guaranteed paradise. Now, he didn't say your daughters, any daughter, any female. So we have a sacred responsibility and a sacred obligation to meet those challenges and those opportunities that God has placed before us. It's the onus should not just be on the female, although there's another side to this. I have seen whereby some men, they wanted the child, but the woman made a decision on her own to abort that child. And he's asking, but wait a minute. I want this baby. Now, talking about I have the right over my own body, I can make this decision on my own. It depends on the circumstance and situations. Some women have had abortions when the man wanted his child. So there is a shared right. in situations like that. His desire should be respected also and bring the child to full term and allow the man to raise his child. Now, these are circumstances and situations associated with abortion. And I must say, Imam Muhammad has shared with us, he said, those three exceptions, rape, incest, and the health and well-being of the mother, those are decisions that are solely hers. No one else should be able to decide for her whether to carry that pregnancy to term. So I wanted to make these statements and include the male in this dilemma of abortion. We have a responsibility. So I'll stop right there now.
Assalamu alaikum.
I was asking why I'm asking.
Yes, you have two callers on the line. Baba Kwame's son, Horace, has joined us, as well as Brother Pianki has joined us. And there's a question on Facebook. How do we change the way we are teaching our children? How do we teach our children differently? And one thing I'd like to throw in there, of course, in one of the previous men only discussions, all the men admitted that the way they were raised, they were told, get as much sex as you can from as many as you can. That's how we actually raising our boy children. So we raise the boy children to basically be predators for the girls, and then we shame the girls when they get pregnant and the boy didn't really love them or want to be a husband to them. And so this nothing has changed with that. So, you know, perhaps address that, and also the callers can address that.
Okay, I'm going to open up the mic of Imam Jalasi Omar for his time here. His scheduling is very short for this broadcast. And if he would answer that question, and then we would greatly appreciate his commentary. Imam Jalasi Omar.
Yes, certainly. Thank you for allowing me to speak on that. Certainly, that's important that we start to train our young men. We have to start early. We've been having some discussions on that, how in our religious belief, there has to be preparation for marriage in terms of being economically stable. So here we are talking about rites of passage, how we need to change the way we do things. You know, we've been stripped of all our cultural influences coming through that slave experience, Jim Crowism, and Western societies, promiscuity, et cetera, et cetera. It's created a bad environment for life to be productive. So we need to rethink life. We need to rethink our life. We've been talking about dwelling in a sacred unity on a philosophy for life. We have to create a different way of thinking about how we exist in this pluralistic society as a people, and what is good for our life. And so certainly addressing the youth, addressing our young men early, having them to start thinking, well, son, one day you're going to be getting married, and you should only want to be sexually active with your wife, and use sex for what God has created it for, to procreate and create a family life. So we need to start having these kind of discussions with our young men, and have them be prepared for abstention, looking forward to marriage, and then also have them start to saving their money for marriage, preparing for marriage. And that's a goal for them. That's a, like they want to get an education or get a job or become successful in a profession. They need to also look at their life development processes as something sacred and an obligation that they can start to prepare from prior to puberty, just before puberty. Have them understanding you're going to be in a male, you're going to be able to be a parent here soon, young man or young girl, and your body is going to be able to create a child, and you'll be a mother if you're not careful with how you conduct yourself. And let's have that conversation with our children. Prepare them to be responsible for the body that they have, rather than have them thinking, oh, you won't be a woman till you're 18 or 19 or 20. Let them understand that when you reach this particular development, now you're going to be able to be a parent, and you need to have parental skills. You need to start thinking about what it means to be a parent or what it means to be a father or a mother, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's a conversation we're going to have. And I just want to make one other comment on how the society has neglected to be responsible for the life, which we've been talking about that, after it comes here in the world. Now this is a human being in the world. This child's going to need care. It's going to need parenting. If the parents are not there and the child has come, then institutions are going to have to be developed to take care of that mother and that child if we want to have a perfect society and have everything working perfectly. Yeah, then we are going to have to be responsible for those children, the mother, the orphans, et cetera, et cetera. And it's already been mentioned, but that should be a challenge on our social organizations and our nonprofits. They should be looking at this thing of how do you care for mothers and children, and not expecting that their government is going to do it, because we are looking at what our government does. It's concerned with the wealthy for most part. It's not really looking at the poor. You don't hear anything about the poor in an election cycle. You hear the middle class, the wealthy, et cetera, et cetera. But nobody mentions the poor and needy. So I think that we are going to have to look at these things in a realistic way and be responsible for our own life. And our institutions are going to have to step up a notch or two to address these issues. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you, ma'am. DeLacy. Okay.
Yeah, it's time for a break now. Yes, it's time for a break, our last break, and then we've got 706-202, Kwame Sunhorse, and 314-677, Pianki from St. Louis, and we've got 773-436. So, and I know you've got a caller. So we'll come back and take callers on this issue of abortion, and perhaps they can address those topics we've asked. How do we change what we teach our children about sex? We'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Wellbeing with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
in to Sofa Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Sofa Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Susan Essentials is re-engineering what health looks like by leading you to the best wellness initiatives in the world. Start your coaching plan today and create a new paradigm of health. Click here to learn more.
Listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I think I'm not sure if Bishop KY has to leave, but you may want to check with him on that. I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Bishop KY. Okay. Oh, let me open up his mic. I see he had dropped. Now he's back with us. Okay, Bishop KY?
Yes. Yes, please.
Yes,
I'm here.
Yes, sir. We know your time is limited. If you would lend commentary concerning the question that was asked concerning how frivolously the male has been indoctrinated to just seek sexual satisfaction with no responsibility following that act, and how males are encouraged to just get as much sex as they can. I must say that my father, eventually in time, he never really, really gave me an education on the obligation of being a father. But when I reached puberty, he said to me, "Boy, you get as much sex as you can." I know I'm not alone hearing such commentary as that. Would you address that teaching, that concept that has been relayed to us as men concerning our responsibility by way of copulation, if you would, please?
As I go forward along that line, as I let you know, all of you, that Bishop here, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian.
If I may address that.
Yes.
You are right in league with with all of us that believe in God.
Yes.
There is no, yes, sir. You are one of the same mind as all of us. I don't want labels to separate us. This is a human condition that we are addressing, and your commentary is as valuable as all of us sharing on such an important issue. Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Amen. Precious people of God, I typed a little bit of something when I started talking about what I was talking in the character where I was brought up and how they kind of instructed us to move forward. And I saw the danger of many of my friends who ended up, now these are men, who ended up having these children whom they could not support. And there was even conflict there, which comes in, and some of them ended up dropping out of school. And practically messing up the direction we are going, though down the road there are other provisions to pick them up. But I was able to see the danger of do whatever you want, transgress, we call it transgressing, sinning, do run all over the place. You are not yet married, but you are sleep with this one, do this, do that. I saw the danger of it from the real world, from the practical, whether somebody is religious or non-religious, there is a danger of, it's like somebody says, don't play with fire. Don't put your hand in that place there on the wall where the electricity is. You can be hurt. This is one of the area where human beings, to some degree, they need to be obstinacy, as somebody called it. They need to be a serious decision for somebody to hold back. To hold back so that they can end up married and having what they would mess with outside the blessing of God and ending up having it in abundance among them. People need to know that nobody is trying to prevent you from enjoying anything, whatever you call it, but you are being set up for good success. Some people succeed to do things, but it's not good success. The Bible uses the word good success. Now, I want to touch a little bit about shaming the woman or the shame which our sister spoke about. The moment a woman or a lady, whatever we want to refer to that person to, gets pregnant, that person should be handled with respect. Regardless of what happened, that person must be cherished as a mother, and that person need to be helped with anybody who can to go all the way and bring that child to delivery, if it is possible. This word shame should not even be attached to a pregnant woman. Right now, we have problems here in Ukraine, Russia, Ukraine. The Russians going there and raping these women in Ukraine. One of the people who spoke here talked about wars. There are so many bad stuff which has been done by bad people to women in wars. And then these women end up with this child. I remember one woman was giving a testimony. She ended up with this child who became one of the major scientists. Who became one of the major scientists
in the area of physics and the other things. But the mother gave a testimony and said the child, he didn't know the father of the child because she was raped. Then the mother went on and said that when that happened, she felt shame, she felt bad. And those who were around her, they kind of started looking at her in a way which she didn't like. But she said she went and prayed about this. And she spoke to God and said, Lord, what can I do with this child? And this is her testimony. She said that she had that inner witness that this is a child of God. Now, I'm not saying that God was the one who made it happen. There was a man who raped her. But she said that she had a witness that this child should not be terminated like that. The real father to all us human beings is God himself. And she sacrificed. Thank God for some brothers of hers and sisters who came in. They raised this child. And the boy became very, very successful, ending up helping a lot of people. So
yes,
just hearing that, I think it brings us to something to click in our lives. Children are part of, I don't want to use the word investment. It's a little bit less, but I've seen the benefit of sacrifice and raising a child towards the parents. I've seen parents in Africa.
I want to now pose the same question to Imam Askia. If you would lend some commentary on the question that was asked, we would greatly appreciate it, Imam Askia.
Yes, sir. I thank you. I'm hearing and what was on my heart in sharing what I did of the elementary aspects of children observing nature, and now what's on the table in the sense of men encouraging young boys to be promiscuous. We know that that's in the society, but to answer the question specifically, we're speaking of education. Education is paramount. And so we're talking about, we've got people of faith, people of the book, communicating regarding of a public problem. And the way we can impact it is through education and information. The public will see something that is unique because their souls are not comfortable with what they're dealing with. We have the government intervening, and when we know the harm of that from giving some poverty communities resources, we see that the more children I have, I can get some compensation. It's orientations like that as well. But we're talking about educating the man as well as that female because of the significance of the peers, as was stated earlier, that we might raise our children, but our children are witnessing among their peers, and we see among their peers the sacrifice that has to be made by the young men and women who have children. And specifically, we're looking at the burden upon the woman, but this stereotypical pressure. Pressure is upon the woman. It has just was shared that Allah makes a way. So one of the verses I will conclude with this here is the Surah Al-An, the sixth of the Quran, and it's Ayat 151, and it addresses, it says here in this expression, say, come, I will rehearse what Allah has prohibited, haram, you from. Join not anything as equal with him. Be good to your parents. Heal not your children on a plea of want. We provided sustenance for you and for them. Come not near to shameful deeds, whether open, take not life. Again, the term haram is used, which Allah has made sacred, except by way of haq, justice, or truth. Thus we have commanded that you may have intelligence or wisdom. So I conclude with that, Brother Imam. There's so much that can be said, but the foundation is education for our youth and us that are God conscious and have guidance, sharing it with those that don't, because they will hear it if we put it in the public. And thank you, Brother Imam.
Okay, thank you. Naima, you mentioned that Kwame Songhorse is with us. He is a regular here. If he could would lend some commentary or ask a question on this most important subject matter, and then I want to open up the mic of Michael Hameen to share his insightful commentary.
Yes. Baba Kwame, I've opened your mic. Are you ready to go right ahead?
As-salamu alaykum and greetings to all of the participants. Can you hear me?
Alaykum.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and an excellent topic, because we've touched on many areas, the rites of passage. We are talking about adolescence and that stage in life where that child is moving from a child to an adult. We have to add the lessons to teach them the responsibilities of their bodies. Because of what we're seeing in this society, it has been perpetuated since the captivity of our ancestors. And what we're now seeing is the residue of what has happened to our communities and our families. It's said that the destruction of a nation begins in the home. When we see homes that once had a mother and a father now basically have mothers and some fathers that are taking responsibility for their children, the part of what we say is it takes a village to raise a child, but what does it take to make a village? It takes an imam. It takes a pastor. It takes a grandmother. It takes a grandfather. We have to look at how have we lost the order of life that once was our way, that we did not have these type of situations. Yeah, there were some that may have occurred, but they were far and few in between, because we have been taught as children and seen our parents. Children see what they will emulate most times. And in this part of this media and this society is bombarding them with opposite of what is family. And a lot of these times that we're in is to be able to, as elders, we have one other charge to become ancestors. How will we lead the children, the guidance to break these generational curses? Because that's what we're facing, these generational curses. And Bianchi, and I know he's coming on next, and I wanted to make an apology because we were on the show and we got into a little back and forth, but I want to apologize to my brother, because it's very important that we can agree to disagree. But what the important part of it is that how does this free us? How will this free us? Because we're talking, but what are we showing? And these are the places that we have to begin to create, is the oasis, our ancestors' spirit and service, to be able to bring the youth and let them see how a man creates and provides and protects and professes. and the women to show the girl how to carry herself and be responsible for her sacred gateway. So these are very much important topics, and I thank all the men that are participating and Sister Naima for having this on this Wednesday Educational Men Show. We need more discussion, but we need boots on the ground and men to take young boys into mentoring. Thank us.
Thank you, Kwame. Thank you. We have to model what we speak of. We have to be the example. I want to now open up the mic of Michael Hameen. Would you share with us, Michael Hameen, your commentary? Very briefly, we are running out of time. We're under the pressure of the scheduling clock. Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
I took my eyes off the clock earlier, but I want to be succinct.
I have to keep my eye on the clock.
Yeah, I have to be succinct. But I'm looking at another factor, and there are answers. You know, if we acknowledge our souls urging to meet our obligations as human beings, as men and women, we have a phenomenon. Prior to the 60s, even during the time of Jim Crow, we statistically, as an African American men and women in the society, we were marrying and maintaining stable marriage relationships well above 50%, and going into the 60s, there were certain cultural influences, oppressive language and media representations that began to affect those, I would say, basic universal standards of health and progress and stability. And so we've lost a lot of dysfunctional behavior has crept in. You have in fact, they've written books about women, young women and older women, being less afraid of trying to raise a child on their own than to get married. There are some issues, emotional sensitivities involved in this as well, where young women in particular feeling the need that they're not being loved or appreciated enough, wanting to have a child, in their mind, thinking that that child is going to give them the unconditional love that they feel they deserve, and that being unaware that the relationship of a man and woman as husband and wife gives the child the best ability to live a more healthy and productive life, because the society doesn't teach the importance of the nurturing of our children, our young boys and girls, that they need more than just shoes on their feet and clothes on their back and a roof over their head and food in their stomachs. That's just maintaining a life. That's not the actual care young life needs to make it in the world. You know, they have to have certain standards. And this kind of, I agree with the brother before me that the elders, you know, and those that have a mature, sober mind and heart, you know, we have to accept more responsibility for turning this thing around and being aware that we have the ability to make choices of what is essential for us and what is not necessary. Because a lot
Thank
of things,
you, Mike.
And lastly, I just want to say that, you know, some of our choices, we're bringing hell into our own lives, individually as well as collectively. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, we have about 1 minute left. I want to hear from our brother that is called in from St. Louis. His name escapes me, but he's a regular caller.
Pianki?
Naima.
Yes, Pianki,
yes,
and I'll open your mic, 314-677. Now, also, I want to inform
him that we are under the – that I have about 3 minutes of broadcast time left. So if
yes.
you could utilize
and,
2 minutes of
and for those who are – and also for those who are on the Female Solution Switchboard, we're going to do a half-hour after show, so stay on. And those who press one, you'll get your chance to speak if you're on the Female Solution Switchboard. And if you want to participate, you need to call in now, 515-605-9325, if you want to participate in the after show. Pianki, your mic is open. Go right ahead.
Well, for the 365 show, on the question, is the woman's right to choose? Yes, it is the woman's right to choose. Actually, it's the family's right to choose. But the country, quote, the state has a right to regulate it according to the law of the land, the supreme law of the land. The Supreme Court don't make laws, and Congress don't make laws that subvert the supreme law that allows it to exist. That's my answer.
Okay, thank you, Kwame. Yes, thank you. Yes, Pianki. At issue is will government funds be utilized in the assistance of abortion? You know, religious life is really a government unto itself. Is really a government. We are governed by the revealed word of Almighty God, and government can assist us in that. But the ultimate responsibility is on us as human beings, and education. Imam Askia mentioned education that is most important, especially educating the young female and the male as to the responsibilities that they are entering into. I must end this broadcast at this time. Unfortunately, we will return back to this subject matter at a later date, inshallah, and we are grateful to all of our honored guests that gave commentary and agreed to be a part of this panel. I thank you, and we are grateful to you, and we look forward to hearing more from you. Well, we are.
And for those who are on the Female Solution line, stay tuned. We're going to play our closing. We'll be right back. So if you press 1, we're going to get your calls, 773-436-773-450, 574-341, and we will be right back.
Oops. Oh, stay with us. And we will be in the after show in just one moment.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion.
And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakor. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
And we are now in the after show for the men only discussion on abortion. So I'm going to open the mics of those who have been holding on. Thank you so very much for staying with us. This is always an intense topic. So let me go to, and Baba Kwame, your mic is still open, so you can, of course, chime in. And let me go to 773-436 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our audience and give us your comments.
Well, hallelujah, greetings, Global Transformers. Wayo-Anyak Shalom. It is written in the Black History Bible book, whose hero is a woolly-haired man with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face. Children are a heritage of God, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It is also written, thou shalt not kill. And at the end of the day, abortion is an act of violence. A living soul needs to be killed so we can stop living. Now, we have been culturally miseducated to sow wild oats. Well, there are no fields for anybody to, for males to sow wild oats, because seed is sacred. And when the seed was wasted, yeah, God was very displeased. And that was just sperm. It wasn't fertilized. And we hear about this a woman. No, you are not a woman. You are a trinity. You are three in one. You are part living sperm, part living egg, and part living soul that the sperm and the egg put together. And you represent family. The man has a spiritual and moral right to protect the family. This is his living soul. This is his child. And why doesn't he have as much right to protect the life of his child and to represent the God of creation as the woman has to take the life of the child? She is not a woman, a pregnant woman. Now the language has changed to a pregnant person, but if you got a menstrual cycle, you are a woman. So a pregnant woman is not alone. Now these aren't based on no feelings. These are based on facts. The act of your irresponsible sex, you want everybody on the planet Earth to be paying for it. And that is just morally and spiritually wrong. I am en route to a breakfast meeting with Republican candidate for governor, Bailey, and I intend to ask him a question. He sued JV based on the mask-wearing executive order, and I'm going to ask him, would he consider suing on behalf of religious rights of a father, considering 49 years later all the things that we have available that we don't have to choose to kill, including a woman postponing her menstrual cycle for 3 or 4 years if she wants to. And so I'm going to ask him, would he consider suing based on the First Amendment right of freedom of religion to for men to represent God? As children are a heritage of God, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, and also represent the Father who can represent his seed and can represent the living soul that his seed has created. That is three against one. And in a democratic society, woman, you lose. Choose to have panties up, dress down, legs closed. But once you have become a three-in-one representing family, your right to choose is over with. What do you think?
Wow. Well, you know, Mama D, there's a couple of points I want to look at. And I'm going to open the mic to 574 next, and then 773-450, and then Baba Kwame and Yankee Stone, you know, I'll open your mics as well to address this issue. Everything is around us trying to keep people from having sex until they're ready to be responsible. And we have such a contradiction in our society. We have everything being sold by basically encouraging sexual arousal. Every product on the market is sold by promising if you buy this product. Everything subliminally and sometimes outright. So our children are bombarded with it. And then there's the music that promotes it. And then there's the activities that make it possible for it to happen. The lifestyle of no parental supervision, explicit sexuality in all of our commercials, our movies, and everything geared towards sexual arousal, selling products through sexual arousal, clothing that enhances one's sexuality in terms of accentuating body parts for arousal. So we have all of this, and we have no teachings as to how one should resist or control one's sexual urge. We don't have any of that. But what we do have is, after the fact, we want to blame and shame. And we don't really teach about sexuality in a wholesome manner. We don't teach it as a spiritual act, as you said. You know, you're opening the gateway for our soul. You know, this living in you. And your seed is the sacred energy force that provides the means for that soul to get here. We don't teach any of that, and we don't teach not just young people, but old people, all people with a sex drive, how to focus their energy on something else rather than sexual fulfillment after they've been aroused 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we have this contradiction. And so the only remedy has been, okay, well, after we go ahead and had sex and, you know, didn't really plan this out or plan to be a family or anything, or, you know, there's a pregnancy, well, we got to get rid of it. But we don't have a foundation to not make it happen. We have a foundation to make it happen. And that's such a contradiction. So I'm going to open the mic for area code 574. What are your thoughts on abortion? Is it just a woman's right to choose? What about the man who says, I want the baby, and the woman says, well, no, I didn't want to have a family with you? You know, what about the man who says, look, I just wanted to have sex, and you got pregnant, and now you're going to make me take care of this child? You know, you should have an abortion.
It depends on the color. Shut the fuck up. It depends on the color of her dress.
a yellow dress, like the press secretary wears all the time, means everything there. She has a beautiful dark skin, right? She's skinned. She's dark skinned. When she has a yellow dress on her, and you can have a baby if you're wearing a yellow dress when you have sex. If you're not wearing a yellow, particular brightly colored dress, maybe you shouldn't have a baby there. Sometimes you got to cut off their leg there so they don't go ahead and they keep having them goddamn babies. Because, you know, every time a black woman has a baby, she gains 50 pounds. Right? And
well,
if she has
everybody
four babies,
that had, when they have a baby, they gain weight. But I don't know if you're saying that she's sexually arousing because she's wearing the yellow dress, and it may be. And that's another issue. Are we addressing clothing as it's the woman's fault? And this is another issue. Some societies say it's the woman's fault if she arouses a man because of the way she's dressed. So area code 773-450, I'm going to open your mic. Address that issue. The last caller brought up about clothing and sexual arousal. Give us your name, where you're calling from. What are your thoughts?
This is Brother Obadiah. How you all doing?
Good morning, Grandizing Obadiah. Yes, give us your thoughts about that. Is it a woman's responsibility to not arouse a man because that issue that comes up?
First of all, men will be aroused by anything if he's got a sexual mentality. So if we go back to tradition, the teacher sexuality, the way you said, like on television, where you just jump in there with anybody, you're in a hurry to get this over with. And now you got this term called hookup. So that means you don't even need to know him well. I just want to get in there. But what type of craziness is that? That's traditional. Do you realize, do these people realize that this is about your soul and your spirit? We fall in three categories, spiritually, mentally, and physically. If we're at the highest level of ascension, we're in our spiritual. I've had friends that, you know, we have such great love, we weren't going to violate any sort of physical thing when you're on spiritual ascension. It's a higher level. That's what we're trying to reach. But when you have society teaching you with that internet, screen time, and grown women your age can be having sex for a boy 10 years old if he's got a credit card, doing whatever him and her friends want. When him and his friends ask her to do, because they can pay for it. She don't know their children, but she's doing what these people say. But this is the way sex was. Back in the day, you only had a picture or a book. Get a load of this so to tie in what you asked me a question about. When I was a young man, I'm chasing seven. When I was an old young man, the old guys used to tell us, as young men, tell a woman anything she wants to hear to get what you want. Did you just what I said? Tell a woman anything that she wants to hear to get what you want. And that still almost makes me throw up, because I wonder how many babies were born on men that lied to women to get what they want. And what did they get? What can you afford to take care of? Children are sacred. That whole scenario, this idea of chasing after people's body is just so boring and it's so debasing as a human being. You can't reach a higher level of spirituality at all if all you're doing is focusing in on something sexual. The best relationships are built from people that get together based on something that they can do to lift up the Most High and His purpose. We're only creatures. We're supposed to be following the orders of a creator and get in line instead of following the orders of other creatures. Because I don't know where they get that from, but actually we were created to do a purpose. And once we find that out and find our gifts and talents, we're supposed to live out our every moment that way. That's what I think about when you all talk about family. Family, these broken families and ruined children, I get on the ground in a white suit to talk to them. I meet them on their level. I'm not preaching the word and giving them all this extra, oh, look how great I am. No. You meet them where they are on the streets. If they're saints and sinners, last I read, the sinners were just no different than saints. I thought the saints was the ones that got saved by grace, so they ain't no better than a sinner. If that's fact, they were one at one time. So how can you stand up on the mountain pointing at people? What I do every day I live, I don't care who they are. They can be some young man on the street. I'm going to try to interact with him. Bump up there, tell him he's my brother. We need that. He ain't got nobody to support him and tell him he's worth anything. And the young ladies, treat them with respect. The women are so brilliant. You know the most sexiest thing I am about a woman is her mouth. Women with intelligence are the most sexual people I can even touch. Because they're so smart, they just enlighten your whole body, mind, and spirit. But it doesn't mean you have to rush.
Let me ask you this before I take the next caller. Yes. When you were growing up as a young man and the older men were telling you what to look for in a woman, now be honest, were they telling you to look at her mind or were they telling you to look at her body? What were they telling you was your goal as a man growing into manhood? And what
were here's the problem.
As a young
growing up, Naima, when we were young men, we didn't have role models like that. Tradition said beauty was a white woman. She had blonde hair. Why black women were putting blonde hair on to be like the white woman. Putting on makeup or however they was. I'm serious. That was, the white woman was the idea of beauty until they came along with what they used to call the black exploitation movies where you start checking out Fran Greer and stuff like that. We were getting turned on, but we was checking out her strength. She wasn't a weak woman. That was all we had as young men because they didn't give no black images. Where was it? They had Sammy Davis and maybe Mahalia Jackson and Miss Stewart up or something, but you didn't have that. So I'm just telling you, from my point, I've always respected women because a woman is our society. They create everything. When young men disrespect the women, it's wrong. I open doors for women. I always compliment any woman and try to let them know, put her up. Don't put her down. We need to
Well, you know, that's very noble.
Women.
And I'm glad to hear that because a lot of men, they follow their conditioning. And
honor
their conditioning.
A woman for her mind and her spirit and her knowledge. And you can go a long way because she can give you some wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Then the family can be on point. These men, wild out of control, don't have to rape up on women because they got more power than them. I hate that. That's
well, I'm
going to
open another mic here and get some response, get another female response. Sister Viata, thank you so much for joining us. I sent you a StreamYard link in case you wanted to be seen, but, you know, I know sometimes it's early in the morning, we ain't trying to do all that. But
well, we're under hurricane protection right now, and things are kind of chaotic. Everybody's running around, get everything hunkered down, and all that. So it's kind of hard for me to be still right now. But anyway,
yeah.
I've been listening, and you know, Naima, you summed it up so well that our society promotes casual sex so frequently, so strongly. That it's really hard for men and women to resist having disciplined sex or conscious sex, let's just say. So I hope in your school of peace, in fact, I would say suggest we start focusing on teaching our children about their sacred bodies. We can't be blaming and shaming adults at this point. Just forget it.
Right.
These adults are influenced by so much in their environment and in their family history, their childhood, that there's no sense in shaming and blaming them with religion and all that, because I've seen too many of my clients who are so sick with disease because they're full of shaming and blaming and guilt. So my thought as I was listening to the men, I thought it's nice of them to talk about this, but ultimately it's the woman's decision if she's going to honor her sacred body and fulfill the 9 months and bring in a new life. It's ultimately the woman's decision. Men can talk about it all day long. That's what's been going on. But ultimately, the woman has to have a consciousness that says, I'm going to honor my sacred temple. So nice job, men, discussion, but ultimately, we sisters, we queens have to teach these children, a new generation of the sacredness of their body, both men and women, and so we come into a new paradigm where we don't need abortion. Otherwise, we're going to need abortion because there's too many unconscious people out here who don't look at their bodies in a sacred way. And as long as society, the medical system, the educational system, the Planned Parenthood keep telling, reminding them women, don't worry, just have an abortion, then that's what adult unconscious people are going to do. Let's just get rid of it. So I say let's promote the School of Peace and also include in there education for our young people and our children about the sacredness of their bodies.
Yes, well, that is most definitely the foundation of the Parenting with Peace class, really starting out with understanding who you are as a soul and your connectedness to everything and everybody. And that has to be instilled as a principle of living at the foundation. But now there's one thing, and I'm going to go back to Baba Kwame to get a thought on this. We know that we can make a choice, you know, am I going to be intimate with this person or not? And if this person is not ready, then I should not. That's one of the main messages in the book, The Female Solution, is every female of every species makes sure that the male is prepared to father a child. He meets whatever the requirement is. If it's a bird, he knows how to build a nest. You know, if it's a lion, he knows how to protect the territory and go after the prey. You know, if it's a gazelle, they know how to run fast. I mean, and they know how to do battle with the other males. I mean, whatever it is your species requires as a standard of your preparedness to father a child, an offspring, the female makes sure that male is ready. We don't do that because we're not really given real examples. I mean, sometimes we might get told, okay, make sure he has some money, but that's not it. For us, it's got to be his spiritual awareness because everything else falls into place. And we've had all these spiritual men talking about abortion today. But if the average man is told to seek sexual fulfillment with a woman as a sign of manhood, absent of any other context, and if the average man is constantly under sexual arousal, you know, circumcised at birth just about, and so he's exposed, his whole body is in a constant state of arousal because his genitalia has been altered early on when it was supposed to have been covered as protection. Why are we still doing that? You know, why are we following a custom? We don't even remember why we're following it, other than it's written in a book. But, you know, so we have all of this happening. And even if women are making every effort to make good conscious decisions, we have that one issue, and someone brought it up earlier, rape. So we've got all kinds of things, even men blaming women for being raped, when in fact, please people understand, sex is not a crime of sexual arousal out of control. Sex is a hate crime. Men who rape women, it's an act of contempt because I am forcing you to engage in an act of intimacy that you don't want, and I know it's humiliating you.
Well, Naima, rape.
We got to know that so we understand something has to be changed in the minds of men so that they don't rape. Yeah, go right ahead. Yes.
I had experience with a rapist who was in prison who shared with me his early childhood experience with his mother that he disrespected for the behavior, sexual behavior that she demonstrated. So from the letters that I read from him in prison about, he was in prison for raping a woman, and he was sharing his heart, just pouring out his heart. Rape is about angry men. And that, where does that anger start? It starts in childhood. So it's the parents' responsibility to raise men, your children, who know how to handle their anger. That's where we fall short. So we got to have a curriculum. We have to have a curriculum of sex education that includes healing these boys from their anger, because these angry boys grow up and are angry men, and those are the ones raping women. They're angry. So it's no shame or blame in my mind. It's just that we got to re-educate our society and especially our boys and girls on how to heal their emotions, have emotional intelligence, and the new curriculum for this new paradigm of sex education has to cover all of this. We got to have a panel on this new curriculum that is conscious and aware of all the root causes of the current behavior we're trying to change.
I agree. So let me ask, I'm going to ask two of the men, Pianki, what is your thought on how to get rid of one component which leads to abortion, which is rape? How do we make that not happen?
Well, rape was always the reward.
It's an act of war. Remember, it's an act of war. So it's got nothing to do with sexual arousal. It's got to do with power. And Beata said men are angry. They're angry and feeling powerless, so rape becomes an act of showing power over a woman.
It was the spoil of a war, and it's where the conquerors plants their well-being, their seed
into the conquered people.
Future nation would be them. So yes, that's how that was done. We live in a country of laws,
mm-hmm.
and that governs on human behavior, especially as you behave toward another citizen in this country. So that there should be suffice. And if that law is broken, then there's punishment.
Well, there has to be some type of deterrent, but I agree with Beata, there has to be some type of spiritual, emotional healing of men who are angry and use rape as a means to exert power. So, Baba Kwame, before we go, I'm going to give you the last word. How do we eliminate a major component of abortion, which is rape? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the part that you were speaking to, and yes, there are laws. There's a universal law, there's a cosmic law, and there's a natural law. The natural law is that you see in the lion's pride, you see in the herds, you see that the female chooses the strongest to produce the strongest. So what we're looking at is the weakness of what we see as manhood, because once a man is conquered, the spoils from the other man is his reward of being able to have your women to whatever way that they conceive that they want to do, because you conquered the man. And if the man is weakened, then you see the destruction that we see in our communities, because as men, we have seen this destruction happen, because you go back into the 50s, the first thing he did was remove the man and put in the check. Remove the man and put in the check in the cabin in captivity. Get out, boy, so I can have this woman because I'm the master. We've got to look at manhood, and we're not training men. Men do not do these type of things, and once upon a time, we did not do this. It was the great honor that you went to the father and asked permission to have his daughter and to produce the things necessary to provide for her in order for him to say yes or no. And the thing that we're seeing now, we don't have cultural guidance. We don't follow the natural law. We are out of order. And until we come back to order, we will keep having these discussions and talking about this or that and this until man stands up. Because if we stand up as men, no one can misuse our women.
Wow. Well said. Well, thank you, Baba Kwame Sunhorse from Georgia. And thank you to all of you who stayed with us for the after show and lent your wisdom. We appreciate all of you. And for those watching us on Facebook Live, on the Female Solution Facebook and YouTube channels, feel free to write in your comments after the show, and we'll certainly be glad to let your voice be seen by all of those who watch our shows in the archives and listen in on Blog Talk Radio. Join us from tomorrow for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Until next time, I'm Naima Latif, and we want you to continue to shine your light.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.